gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
My first full week of being bi, I am exhausted. Just spending Meredith Baxter Burney off has been a... it is the Stephanie Miller Show, bi-coastal version, week one. Woohoo! We are joined live in studio by John Fugelsang here in New York. Fridays with Fugelsang, all 3 hours. We have another jam-packed show. We have Representative Elliot... Representative Elliot Engel.
Yes.
Healthcare warrior of New York.
And...
will be joining us. Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington. Christian Weller from RoboCop and the Center for American Progress. Economist extraordinaire.
And...
all joining us live.
And Elliot Engel...
Friday extravaganza.
Elliot Engel represents the Bronx, Stephanie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Did I make some unfortunate comments about the Bronx yesterday?
You kind of did.
I didn't. I mean to imply it, John. It's just that when, you know, someone contracts with FedEx to deliver to your house, technically they're supposed to come to your house. You're not supposed to have to go to the Bronx to pick up your FedEx.
Well, I share your outrage.
All right. The good news is I got my FedEx.
Good. Did you go to the Bronx?
You know what it is, Chris? It's the check for the quirky car company. My car should be here Monday, and by that time it'll be a hostage crisis. They'll need, I'm sure it'll be several hundred more dollars because something happened. You know, they've already jacked me twice now.
Yes. And they tried to blame it on me.
Yes. Well, that's because that's my strategy. That works.
Yeah. That's what they told me when I first began the show, Chris.
Uh-huh.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, surly associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. John Fugelsang has already registered a complaint. Normally that's Rebecca's job.
Mm.
He says I'm not being slutty enough with him. However, I try to dial back the sluttiness because he's married.
Yes.
Yeah, but see, I got to show off for something to my wife. It's fine. Listen, I'm paying her $55 million to stay with me. You can do whatever you want. It's fine. We'll deny it in the press. It's okay.
They don't have quite the Tiger Woods type marriage. Jim,
no.
Chris, I think the rules are a little looser in the Fugelsang household.
Oh, no. We have a very devoted codependent relationship. It's a successful thing. And you know what? I'm not gonna
toxic. I can get in there and screw things up.
Well, take your best shot, please.
Get a golf club, Stephanie. Come on.
I can get up in that codependence.
That's right. Well, I made her sit through a lot of golf, so I'm allowed to cheat.
All right, let's get through the important things about Mama. The slime porner showed up.
Hooray!
So there, those of you on the live blog betting against me, haha.
So you have internet, you have cable?
I've got the internet, I've got the cable, I've got I've got a landline. How old-fashioned is that? It's like horse-drawn or something.
Well,
it's analog.
But it's, you know what, they have different rules. They get you coming and going here, John. You know how it is. They don't ask me because I got everything through them. The regular phone jacks are already there. They don't work. Because that's a different company, so now I have to go get a fancy something, a satellite phone. Otherwise, only one jack works.
Now you're in New York.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can
welcome to New York. It's going to cost
you. You can get these cordless phones now where you just plug it in once and you
that's
can have
it.
Like
that's
three
what I have to
and
get.
You have three extensions across.
I already purchased the different kind
but
from
all
the
drug dealers in the wire use those.
Yes. I already purchased the different from the electronics store in Times Square, which that's going to be a thing. I have to try to return the other phone today.
That's probably the most expensive place you could get something.
Oh my God.
She brought it home, and it actually was made of heroin, just painted black. So.
By the way, thank you, listeners, for because I could not live if I hadn't had help from my listeners this week on everything. Thank you, including wiping my ass in New York. But you know what? They were right. The B train and the C train do go. It just goes to a different place. I can get here from there.
Every train on the west side goes to Times Square. It's one of
close
those stops.
Close enough to Times Square.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Why Stephanie wants to thank her audience, the most sexually attractive listeners in all of broadcast radio.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Seriously, they've researched everything for me.
We got stats.
Because they know that I should not have to depend on Rebecca Taylor. Good morning, Rebecca!
What, bitch, what?
Listen, now you're just playing it up. You know that you become a superstar.
Seriously.
It's gone to your head. You're getting bitchier and bitchier every
morning. Is that what wedded bliss sounds
Shut
like?
Shut up, Stephanie. I want to ask you something.
Yes.
How have you been able to go potty without me this week?
I don't know. I had to hire an ass wiper.
Tickle your pee, you know.
Why is she being so pleasant this morning?
I don't know. All right, let's get to Rebecca's fan mail. can I have some music, please, for Rebecca? Someone needs to send Rebecca a jingle, apparently.
Yeah. Or
she's just gotten insufferable
Zoloft
already.
Zoloft smoothie.
All right. Glenn in Chicago Rebecca Stardom explained, more airtime, please. Please, please, more airtime for Rebecca Taylor. The appeal is when successful, prominent, conscientious, progressive, bleeding heart liberal Stephanie Miller, whom we do absolutely adore, is called out by Rebecca as nothing more than another cynical, money-grubbing capitalist, landlord, ruthless New Yorker businesswoman taskmaster of Stephanie Miller International, who pays her staff squat and doesn't care how they eke out a living on survivalist wages and living on in thatched roof hovels. That's true.
True that.
Rebecca's only problem is she's not surly enough, but we listeners hope she will overcome this minor defect. When she said F you to Stephanie on the air the other day, I laughed so hard my fellow commuters on the morning train all looked up from their papers and shot me dirty looks, since nobody should be having that much fun on the way to work. Go get him, Rebecca. Straighten step out. You know she needs someone to tell her what's what.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, what's what, Rebecca?
What's what? And to Glenn, F you.
You have a delightful story about Mrs. Rebecca's mom.
Yes, this is hilarious. Okay, so last week with the White
House... I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, no, trust me, it's so funny. It reminds me of your mom. last week with the White House crashers story, my mom said that she thought it was a Democratic plot because the Salahis have a Palestinian last name and Palestinians are Democrats, and it was some sort of major distraction from the healthcare debate because now nobody's talking about healthcare.
Oh, that is good.
And I was like, oh,
can
my God.
Can you get your mom on the phone some morning?
No, no, I'm going to offer her money because she won't do it otherwise. I said, did you get that from Rush? And she said, no, I thought of that myself.
Oh, no.
I was like, you are so smart.
Your mom is at home like with little homemade, hatching little homemade right-wing conspiracy theories.
Did you hear what she said to her mom after that?
What? I said, Mom, you're so smart. And lately she's been saying, you've been disrespecting me. I'm like, what?
You should open Glenn Beck stand-up shows.
You get that from that whore Stephanie Miller you work with, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, oh, Rebecca, here's the other thing. I received my printer ink that you sent me yesterday as well.
Oh, sweet.
Because you were smart enough to use UPS, and they don't seem to care whether they get a signal, whatever.
So it came to you. I'm so glad.
Yes, but, you know, here's the thing. Is I even through the box, I sensed hostility from you because you sent me, like, 65,000 printer cartridges. I get the sense that you don't ever want to talk to me again. there was, like, a hostility, Chris, coming, emanating from the box. It was an F you, don't ever call me again.
Well,
for these damn printer cartridges.
You're going to have to come to New York to change the printer cartridges, of course.
Yeah.
No, because she's so helpless. There is a reason for this hostility, and it'll come out soon. Oh. I won't tell you today.
Oh, there's a plot.
Wow. Are you ready for sweeps? What's the reason?
There's a plot and character development to this whole.
Rebecca's got an arc.
Wow. She's got a story arc.
Wow. I can't wait for the third act.
My agent told me
I kept saying that for 2 hours watching Funny People.
Well, you know, here's something that may speed up the hostility. I'm going to need you to come to New York and deal with a dog poo problem I'm currently having.
No.
Well,
do not.
Let me explain what happened. I'm having really bad dog mom guilt right now. Because, you know, I went through a lot to make sure they got here safe and they're acclimating and, you know, I'm taking
They're happy dogs now.
Well, they eat special food. I get it from Gentle Giants Rescue where I rescued them both and it's really great. It's the best food for them and it's really great. And so I overreacted on the LA side. I got two giant bags. Chris, you probably saw them. They're in my car.
Yes, they are in your car. Yeah. It made it hard to try
Monday or what?
It made it hard to try and shove the TV in there that you
wanted. No, I was more concerned about the dog food.
Okay.
Anyway, and then I had to bring a bunch in my suitcase because
I see.
Here's the problem. So I ran out.
You're an Alpo mule.
Yes.
So you have to feed them.
They're like polar bears, and I underestimated how much they were going to eat before my car got here. And so I had to get them other food, Chris. And, you know, you can't switch dogs' food like that.
No,
like
you can't.
Have to do it gradually.
You have to do the same with a cat.
Poo problems.
Oh,
you have.
No.
Yeah, this was not pretty this morning, Rebecca, in Central Park. What I picked up after Fred was not that.
Oh.
Was not solid.
No.
TMI.
No. It was really...
Wow. Just give
your
pets
so Manhattan's closed today, folks.
Yeah.
Stay in the outer boroughs. Don't even try to come here.
It's going to be like they shut the bridges and tunnels. They
I've seen these dogs. It's like that thing from Cloverfield. You don't want it. Central Park is quarantined.
It even smells in here, but for a different reason. You want to know why?
Why?
John's like, what are you eating? Well, because, you know, it's expensive here, so I have to either, like, eat the same Chinese food for 4 days, or I conned my older sister into coming to New York and taking me out to dinner last night.
Uh-huh.
So I have a leftover branzini.
A little
side of pasta fagul.
What's branzini?
It's a sea bass, an Italian.
Oh. It's actually the color that John Boehner chooses at the tan.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a little pungent in the studio. That's what I'm eating.
Well,
yeah,
how is
my
that
big
different?
Sister, she came to town. She's like 20 years older than I am, Chris. You know, you've met my big sister.
It's nice of you to point that out. I'm sure she appreciates that.
Yeah. Actually, she was doing a happy dance because she was so excited. I'm sure sisters do this. She had to inform me that she has no gray. And she's like, your hair's darker. Yes, it is. And I was like, well, I have a semi-permanent rinse. I have just a few. She's like, ha-ha! Ha-ha-ha! I'm 20 years older. I don't have it at all.
She's mad that she's 39.
By the way, Stephanie, I noticed this morning that you left your hair color shampoo in the shower at your house.
I don't have hair color shampoo. Really?
You have some kind of shampoo that protects
the
color.
That belongs to Charles Krauthammer. He was staying over before Stephanie. Eyebrow color shampoo.
So you know, you guys, what the entire dinner was. As you know, she inherited the Miller non-technical gene. For instance, I had my BlackBerry with me. She doesn't even have that yet. I had to explain how a BlackBerry works. I thought I was bad.
What, does she carry a rotary phone around with her?
Where's the dialy phone, Effie? But it took the whole dinner, Chris, to explain once again. She still does not understand how I can do the show from New York, and you guys are in L.A.
Yeah.
Did she pull out her telegraph machine at the dinner table?
Have to explain that there's wires and there's satellite things, and it's just a microphone that I talk into, and it goes to other places that I'm also not in.
And you be careful out there among them English. She got back in her buggy and returned to Pennsylvania.
All right, so that's, big sister's in town, brother-in-law coming in tonight, nephew tomorrow to dog sit and pick up the loose poo, because Mama will be in Chicago.
That's right.
Along with Bill Press, you can go to chicagosprogressivetalk.com. I think, I know it's sold out, but there may still be a chance to get VIP tickets, not sure. Check it out. All right, so Mama coming to Chi-Town tomorrow. I'm very excited
about
that.
Very exciting.
It is very exciting.
Yeah.
Mama.
They don't get the Olympics, but they get you and Bill Press.
That's right.
Well, yes. Actually, still the Oprah void.
Actually, it's not even Chicago. It's kind of Oak Park.
It's close enough.
Oh, rub some salt in.
Anything, you know, listen, up Pulaski, you can get anywhere from. All right. Lots of stuff to get to. I believe we're going to dive into a right-wing world when we continue. Rebecca, any final insults? I know you like to have your big closing before you leave.
You know, it's Friday, so I don't really have much. Screw you?
Okay.
Is that okay?
That's kind of weak.
Looking forward to your children's book, Rebecca.
All right. Thank you, Surly. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World as we are knee-deep in Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. 3 hours of Fridays with Fugelsang, everybody. How about that?
In spite of popular demand.
He's in the co-pilot seat. As we dive into the right-wing world, let's see what's doing, shall we, kids? We watch so you don't have to. Oh, Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear. So the president had a job summit yesterday, as you know.
Yes.
And the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, of course, released a study. They're nonpartisan, you know. Did
Indeed.
I mention that part?
So I've heard.
The same folks who said the public option would save $127 billion.
They backed up the president on the stimulus, essentially. They said that it has saved or created 1.6 million jobs, showing the stimulus is working. The breaking news this morning, Chris LaBoy, unemployment actually down, which was not expected.
Right.
To 10%. I mean, it's not good. But
right.
That's because of Bush's policies, though.
That's because of George
Bush.
Give
Bush the credit for that. Karl Rove
is
taking credit for that.
But at any rate, I mean, that was unexpected. People were thinking it was going to go even higher. So the fact that it dropped even to 10 from 10.2 is heading in the right direction.
The job summit is working, my friends.
But not in right-wing world, according to Charles Krauthammer.
It's a conceit of liberals in power to imagine that the government not only should but can create the jobs. Outside of world wars, it doesn't. Generally, it gets in the way.
Unless, of course, you're looking at the latest unemployment this morning or the CBO report.
Are there liberals in power? I didn't understand that.
Don't we wish?
Not in the White House.
Right. O'Reilly, of course, anything the president does is just a little dog and pony show.
Big dog and pony show in Washington today as President Obama hosted the so-called Jobs Forum designed to combat rising unemployment. Anything that puts Americans back to work is good, but the government can't provide jobs on a massive scale. Thank God President Obama seems to understand that.
I think Afghanistan is about providing jobs on a massive scale. That's why we're going there.
Right. That is providing jobs.
That's a jobs program, folks.
What do they not get about a report that says that the stimulus has saved or created 1.6 million jobs? Well, how is that? Again, you know, sometimes the CBO, you know, you get good news. Sometimes you get bad news, depending on what side you're on the partisan divide. But
we don't want your liberal facts, okay? What's wrong with you?
Just ignore it.
Why do you hate it? Why do you hate freedom? Okay?
I just do.
Why do you pay attention to these facts?
I'm for bondage for everybody.
What?
I'm for family bondage.
Laura Ingraham on O'Reilly on the.
I have to say that a left wing president, he is a left wing president, to put in 30,000 troops, and you said 20,000 more Marines go as well. That's really 50,000 troops into a war zone. That's not insignificant. The problem, though, Bill, is to put this 18-month timeline on the
but
effort.
That's
which
bogus.
Is, which
you
is,
know that's bogus.
Well, it's bogus because it's time clearly politically to the next presidential election.
Oh, I see. I'm a military strategist.
She's going to make some guy's life really long, Laura Ingraham. I'll tell you.
That said, she's right.
You know, that said, she's a little bit right there.
About which part?
About the 18 months and about how it's not really going to be 18 months. They're both
yes.
right. They
yes.
can be evil and right.
Yeah, who knows? That's not the problem.
Stephanie, it's not going to be 18 months. It's going to be much longer. Sorry.
A girl can dream.
I've been
right about everything so far about Obama. You just don't know. No one has a crystal ball to see how this is going to go, but at least we have a strategy.
I actually do think it's a jobs program. I think that's a big thing about Afghanistan. You don't want to have a lot of National Guard officers suddenly being let go and their jobs aren't there anymore and they have their health care walking around the South. This is really the quid pro quo that we're going to have to get health care. Healthier, this is going to cost $100 billion, and the public option will save $100 billion. So it all evens out in our grand deficit hole.
The only thing we have to keep us warm this Christmas, apparently, is another Bill Maher atheist show.
What? Huh?
What do atheists have in December? The latest Bill Maher special? I mean, that's not special, all right? We have Christmas. We have fun. We get presents. This is a celebration. What do they do? They don't have anything.
Oh, please. You
don't
think
the solstice.
You don't think atheists exchange presents with one another?
I don't care whether they do or not. I think they're just really jealous of the holiday.
They want more presents.
They're jealous of the holiday. Because Christians and Jews with Hanukkah are having a great time, and they're sitting around watching Rosie O'Donnell tapes.
Bill! Bill, you effing tool. Atheists even exchange presents with Christians at Christmas.
Oh, by the way, you are the official atheist of the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
Yes, I am. That's why I got that soundbite.
And we exchange presents.
Well, I didn't on your birthday.
I'm sure you'll make up for it at Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I'll give you something giant.
I'll put Christ back in Christmas when they put Christ back in Christianity.
That's
my
deal.
There you go. Deal.
Oh, God. I hate it when Bill O'Reilly talks for atheists. He knows nothing about them.
I see.
And we sit around the atheist bush and, you know, and don't just sing carols. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's.
I gotta pick up some Bill Maher and Rosie O'Donnell tapes, apparently.
That's what we do during December.
Apparently. Okay, 28 minutes after the hour, back with the Skosh, more right-wing world, as we continue Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God knows I didn't always understand
Stephanie Miller.
She was a bit unstable.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 102 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Chris, I forgot to tell you, here in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International,
yeah,
they got very fancy for me. They actually put up signage. It looks like it was just on a copy machine with a color cartridge. It just says the Stephanie Miller Show.
Really nice.
Uh-huh. Well, at least they have a color cartridge.
Uh-huh.
One of the pages is
taped up to the wall.
It looks great.
I'm surprised I got the FedEx because I'm sure they're like, who? Who does it? She works here? They don't even know who I am here.
There's a flyer for monthly storage on the back that Xerox onto. So yeah. They recycled as well. It's nice.
I've hit the big time. Mama's in the big time. Oh, we do have some exciting TV news that I can't tell you about.
What?
How's that for a tease?
Oh, when are you going to be able to tell us, Stephanie?
I think next week. It's not as exciting as you'd imagine. But
pull down my pants and taunt me.
It's exciting for me. All right.
We'll wait on that.
Yeah, okay.
What?
We'll wait on that. She's all giggly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What, are you going to be on Keith Olbermann's show?
10 p.m.?
Yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Be on Keith Olbermann's show?
What's that? I will be going to the big Dial Global holiday party tonight, along with Ed and Wendy Schultz and a host. And John Fugelsang's going.
I will be there, yes.
Yes, it's that's our syndicator, our
Very
radio
cool.
syndicator.
Wish I could go.
You're invited.
No. Listen, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, I asked him to bring me a bagel yesterday, and he goes, egg and cheese? The implication being the Stephanie Miller Show cannot afford both right now, so...
Not right now.
Yeah, plane ticket. Don't think so.
Yeah, they get up for a fistful of locks.
And by the way, squatter, it's almost time to get out of my house. It looks like I've got a renter.
I know. So I
get out, squatter.
I traumatized my cat for nothing.
He's already had the disco ball installed. I can't believe you're doing this.
Go back to your mud hut. Party's over. Gravy train is ending.
Back in your yurt, Lavoy.
Yeah. I was planning a circuit party. Come on. You can't do this to me.
All right. Oh, dear. Hannity on the... that's surprising that he doesn't want more jobs for Americans. He wasn't down with the job summit.
So with unemployment standing at well over 10% here in the U.S., President Obama, the anointed one, called on a handful of business leaders to attend a jobs summit earlier today at the White House. Now, the administration says the goal of the event was to come up with ideas on how to put Americans back to work. That's believe it or not, the host of the forum only found enough time on his very busy schedule to make a brief cameo appearance throughout the day.
He's an a-hole.
You know, we need to play SpongeBob's song for him. Don't be a... It's Christmas.
Sean's upset because he doesn't want to lose his other job with Mr. Slate at the Rock Quarry in Bedrock. So he takes it very personally.
You know, this is what we keep saying, Chris, though. That's the problem. It's any good news for America is bad news for the Sean Hannitys of the world. So it must kill him to have to report today that the unemployment numbers have gone down. Good news for Americans, bad news for, you know, the right-wing business. All right. Hannity on the, energy, clean energy legislation, Christopher?
This is about Copenhagen next week.
Oh, I'm sure he's a big fan of all that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Now, climate legislation won't just affect the economy. It may also affect your travel plans. Now, according to a new study in New Scientist magazine reported by the New York Post, airfares could more than double if worldwide carbon regulation laws go into effect. And that's exactly what all those politicians and celebrities are going to be pushing for when they are in Copenhagen next week. But what do they care? They got private jets?
Okay.
Almost like he wants to scare Fox's viewers. I know it sounds crazy, but...
Chris?
Yes?
I'm sorry to have to do it to you again, but explain the fun facts about why that's kind of hypocritical because of Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity will not go to an affiliate event unless he gets a private plane. And it must be the right kind of private plane or he will not make the trip.
Yes. Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Had it happen to me when I worked at a Sean Hannity
at a right-wing station.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to send the right private plane.
Yes, or he won't get on it.
Not just any private plane.
And Alan Combs have to serve drinks.
All right.
In a tight and fitting.
In a thong. Yes, exactly. All right. That concludes our right-wing world. Thank you. Thank God. Yeah, that's what we were saying. Is there an equivalent to Hooters? Is there a male? Is there a Nutsies? Is there something that for the ladies?
There's the Lifetime Network. It's kind of funny because coming out as a lesbian is the only storyline Meredith Baxter didn't make into a movie for Lifetime,
isn't
it?
That's right.
I'm sure she will.
Now she has her chance.
All right. You know what? I'm just looking on the internet today. I'm just finishing up Right Wing World. A new study has revealed the angriest Americans. Would you like to...
I can only speculate.
Actually, it doesn't. It's not a partisan study. Anger, but this is because we're all a bunch of childless losers here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Right.
Oh, although we should ask Rebecca Taylor if she and Mr. Taylor, she probably won't be doing this job much longer. She's going to be breeding, isn't
Rebecca,
she?
Rebecca, you breeder.
I don't know if they're planning on having kids or not.
Let's find out.
Have eight.
Rebecca,
that's in this year.
Oh, here she comes.
Okay. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm saying we've sort of made our mark being a pack of childless losers, all of us.
Yeah. So does that include Rebecca?
I don't know. Hmm. Let's find out. Let's get her nose all up in her personal business. Rebecca?
Yeah. Hey, I've gotten, like, secondhand childless dumb skank loserdom from you.
Uh-huh.
So we're not having kids.
You're not. Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
Because you're my hero. I'm not going to have kids.
The petition worked. That's good.
Thank you. Good. Good.
Good. Give the people
my
what
best
they want.
To Mr. Taylor. Okay. Anyway, there's a new study. It's good news for all of us childless losers. The breaking news this morning: anger more likely among the young, those with children at home. No kidding.
Yeah.
And the less educated, a new study finds, having children was also associated with angry feelings and behaviors such as yelling. Particularly in women, the survey found.
Wait, people with children yell more?
We needed a survey to find that out. You can't just go to any Walmart.
Who paid for it? I hope taxpayers...
Stop it! I am not kidding! Pardon me?
I hope taxpayers didn't pay for that study, because I could have told them that.
Yes, I could. Listen, I'm sure when I fly to Chicago tomorrow on Screaming Baby Airlines, I will have more stories on Monday, as I always do.
Oh, boy.
Oh, when I'm lucky enough to fly with the tots.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, speaking of screaming and immaturity, the health care debate is proceeding apace. Wow, check it out. Democrats held together for a second, unflinching on a critical first test. Senate Democrats closed ranks behind the Medicare cuts in the at the heart of health care legislation, thwarting a Republican attempt to doom President Obama's sweeping overhaul. Our bill does nothing to reduce guaranteed Medicare benefits, said Max Baucus, the AARP. That's what a little tip-off is, John, if they support it. It's probably okay.
Exactly.
For the old folk. They supported the 10-year package of cuts in projected spending, giving Democrats cover for their decision to pare back subsidies to private Medicare plans, as well as payments to hospitals, hospices, home health agencies, and other providers. Tim Geithner, Treasury Secretary, was actually talking yesterday about health care as well.
Businesses want certainty. They need certainty so they can make long-term plans today. And that's why it's so important Congress gets health care behind us, that we bring financial reform in place.
Yeah. I think financial reform is firing Tim Geithner, personally.
Yes, I was going to say, I think that might be part of it.
He's running our economy, but only because Nicolas Cage wasn't free to do the job, folks. Only
he
reason.
Too busy buying his seventh castle.
Oh, Geithner. But, yeah, I heard Harry Reid's new plan to get health care is to go to all the southern states in rural areas where
yes.
they only have a Winn-Dixie supermarket
yes.
and make them think it's a Publix option for their town. So
hey,
we'll hope.
You see,
go for it, Harry.
Because...
That did not deserve a rim shot.
Listen, I know from southern markets. My mom shops at the Harris Teeter or wherever the thing is.
It's Harris Teeter, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
My parents shop at a Harris Teeter in Williamsburg, I believe.
Yeah, I had to do the Gristides.
The what?
Not sure about that. What?
I live on top of a Gristides.
That's the one near me here
watch
in New York.
That's what you say. Those roaches are close to my heart.
All right. Senator Barbara McCluskey on the health care as well.
Health care is a woman's issue. Health care reform is a must-do woman's issue. And health insurance reform is a must-change issue.
That's why we need tort reform and nothing else.
Yeah, exactly.
I love Barbara Mikulski.
She's awesome.
Do you know, there's a fun fact about Barbara Mikulski. Did you know what it is, John?
Her name is Polish for people saying.
No.
What would it be?
She is the only guest that has appeared on the Stephanie Miller Show that has declined to return.
Really?
Yes.
Let me guess. Chris Lavoie, all hands.
No.
All right?
Yes.
Yeah.
A little grabby.
Because she's
mm-hmm.
so hot.
A little grabby. Can't control himself around the babs.
No, she just she didn't enjoy herself.
She said, oh, just didn't enjoy
yeah.
herself.
Yeah, so she declined to come back.
I don't think I even did a fart joke.
No!
I was pretty middle of the road. Okay, whatever.
Well, you know what? Keep at it and more guests will refuse to come back.
That's my thing.
Don't give up. Eyes on the prize.
All right. Grumpy old man John McCain on how AARP, they're the wrong kind of grumpy old men.
Take your AARP card, cut it in half, and send it back. They've betrayed you.
Yeah, my dad already did that after Bush's drugs bill.
Yeah. I'm so old I can't even say AARP anymore. I don't even know how many A's are in it. Triple AARP. Okay. All right, Grampy. Sit down.
Boy, it's really sad now because with Huckabee dropping out, now Palin's got a wide open field for the nut job vote. And
you gave us some breaking news this morning. Guess what? Sarah Palin's a birther.
She's a birther. this mass orgasm on Huffington Post over this revelation. Boy. But yes, they asked Sarah Palin about it yesterday, and she's a bit giddy now because of Huckabee dropping out.
Yes.
And so she, we'll call Schmuckabee, came out and said, well, they asked about my son Trigg, so I think it's fair to ask about whether Obama's really an American, whether he's really born here. And I think I'll produce Obama's birth certificate when she produces a high school diploma.
Hey, with the flying.
All right. Stephanie?
Yes.
John McCain would like you to cut up your AARP card and replace it with something.
I expect you'll want to see my angry, crotchety grandpa discount card.
Sir, this card has expired.
But it's good for a lifetime.
Well, yours expired.
Good call, Producer Chris.
Thank
44
you.
Minutes after the hour. I didn't realize we had that audio from the campaign. 44 minutes after the hour. Huh? Another public option poll. We'll tell you how that one came out as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? Kevin writes, Steph, you forgot one category in the Angriest American study, those who work for Stephanie Miller.
Well,
that's true.
I'll say.
Yeah.
Got that one.
A bunch of malcontents he got there.
Oh, screw you. And all he is.
Cheer your postal workers, I've known.
The Dow is up 146 points. Yeah. It is 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
Stephanie, just be glad that we're liberals and we don't carry guns.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right. So yet another poll. This would be roughly the 100th one to show an overwhelming majority of Americans want a public option.
Mm.
The poll found 59.9%. Carry the 4%. That's almost 60%, John.
Wow, it certainly is. Uh-huh. I went to public school, but I think your math's right.
Here in New York?
Yes, here in New York.
Where'd you go?
I went. I grew up on the Isle of Long, in the heart of the Guido Belt. That's where I went to school, in the Fuco Nation.
All
the
right.
IROCs run free and the hair grows high.
Higher the hair, the closer to God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. 60% favor a public option, despite being heavily attacked, of course, by insurance company Republicans and a handful of douchey Democrats.
Wait, you're saying these people want the same kind of health care that every other industrialized capitalist society has?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Shocking. Mm-hmm. Why do they hate freedom?
Because they're like Joe Lieberman.
Why do they
Joe Lieberman, douche.
The public option remains consistently popular. I mean, isn't it amazing with a round of noise that you've heard about this and people still get it? As
mm-hmm.
much fear-mongering as they've done on the public option, it just... And every time you hear Joe Lieberman, douche...
Joe Lieberman, douche.
The douche-torious J-O-E.
Yes, he's changed why he's against the public option like six times, and none of it makes sense. You're
well,
just like,
it's not up
what?
To Joe. Aetna sends him new talking points. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just reading what Aetna gives me to read.
What have you heard of this? The Carper? What's his name, Chris? Tom Carper?
Sure. Yes. He's good.
What the hell is his alternative? It's not a public option. It's not even public option like. It's not a public. It would not be run. It would be run by a non-governmental board. It's also not an option because the trigger will be designed to never be pulled, ensuring that no one would have the option.
Trigger, like please.
It's a non-governmental co-op with a trigger, but that won't really ever be triggered.
It'll never get us, Copper.
Or opted in or out. But how's that?
It won't ever exist, great. Basically, because it won't be triggered. That makes
this
total
is what
sense.
Happens with compromises sometimes.
But the whole public option is the compromise. That's the thing. If Obama had gone for single payer, he could have compromised with this. I don't mean a Cavell or Kvetch.
And the Republicans, I mean, first of all, we keep saying this on the show, but why not reconciliation? How many of the Bush's tax cuts for the rich that got us into this deficit did they pass with reconciliation? And now they're like, this has never been done in the history of this body. Why I'm And meanwhile, there's a big yes. Mm-hmm. Senator Judd Gregg, did you see him on the TV there yesterday?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He was offered a job in Obama's cabinet and then turned it down.
Dodge that loss.
A memo authored by Judge Gregg outlining exactly how Senate Republicans can kill health reform using various parliamentary tactics. Some of them include demanding a new legislative day, forcing hard quorum calls, compelling Republican senators to offer unlimited number of amendments, germane or non-germane, on any subject to the health bill. Chris, stuff we do here is comedy. It becomes truth the next day.
I know.
We were joking about these amendments are probably gibberish. They're just like, like the piece of paper just goes, Flavenhaven.
Thanks for making your playbook public, Judd. You know, thanks for giving that in Rahm Emanuel's lap and letting us know every one of your... I mean, it's...
Well, the amendments are going to be nothing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what kind of... He's a grandstanding. If he had a secret plan to kill it, he wouldn't make it unsecret.
Senator Gregg has an important amendment of Rumpelstiltskin. What does that mean? What does that mean, sir?
Judd.
Why does he hate democracy?
I don't know. In 2006, you'll be surprised to know, he sang a very different tune about appropriate Senate procedure. He was facing opposition on one of his bills. He blasted Democrats for what he perceived as obstruction for the purpose of obtaining power. Why?
It's almost like he flip-flopped. Is that the term that people use? I'm shocked a Republican would do that.
The thing is, they're all on record.
Yeah. Fortunately, their supporters don't like to read.
Exactly. All right. It's stunning. People like Joe Lieberman on tape during the talking about how he was going to get health care for people in Connecticut and whatever he was.
Listen to what I'm saying right now and ignore my entire record.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
Exactly. So President Obama promised at a jobs forum yesterday to take every responsible step to accelerate job creation, including some ideas he said he can put into action quickly. He said it has been a tough year with a lot of uncertainty. There's no question it's difficult out there right now. Says he's open to any ideas. That's
leadership, I guess. is it irony if a job summit doesn't work? Is that irony? I don't know.
It did seem a little hollow.
Yeah. What do you guys got?
The president yesterday.
How do we get businesses to start hiring again? How do we get ourselves to the point where more people are working and more people are spending?
Wait a minute, you two naysayers.
What?
It's a tough problem, unemployment. I mean, what's wrong with saying I'm open to other ideas, George Bush never had a summit asking anybody's opinion on anything. I mean, it's like the president's always saying, like, grab them up, you know?
Well, but, I mean, Obama ran talking about reviewing NAFTA. You know, NAFTA, I hate to upset my Clinton and Gore fans, but, you know, I'm still waiting for my NAFTA prize in the mail.
Listen.
I mean, they sold NAFTA with a big
resume. They killed my radio career with the Telecommunications Act.
They certainly did.
So, you know, Obama ran saying he was going to reconsider NAFTA and review it and, you know, try and keep our jobs from being shoveled overseas. I mean, NAFTA didn't help Mexico. It didn't stop illegal immigration. I don't know what it did other than ship our jobs away, which it promised to do. It's time to review it.
You know, it might be time for Rebecca Taylor's Ross Perot impression, because now that you've brought up NAFTA, we have to point out that Ross Perot was right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's everybody made fun of him and all his little, what were his... I can't remember. It's like your crazy aunt in the... What thing was the crazy aunt in the attic? Something was the crazy aunt you keep in the attic. It's like crazy aunt you keep in the attic. Nobody wants to talk about that issue. Sold. See, Rebecca normally, because Jim's not here till the top of the next hour, so
right.
She has to fill in, but that's kind of it. That's her one bag. That's the one trick in her bag.
Well, he warned us about the giant sucking sounds of our jobs going to Mexico, and I don't know what job that refers to, but it turns out that he may have been correct in retrospect.
I think you can find that on Avenida Revolucion in Tijuana.
Well, Lou Dobbs will be looking for work there soon.
All right. The president yesterday at the jobs summit.
I am open to every demonstrably good idea.
Sure. Well,
a little bit
what are yours?
Yeah, bit of leadership would, instead of...
Well, what should he be doing that he's not doing?
Listening to Paul Krugman.
I mean, it looks like the stimulus is working. That's what I keep citing the CBO report. But look, we don't... we'll talk to Christian Weller about this at the top of the hour. He's a fancy economist,
I've heard.
But it seems like, clearly these numbers are going in the right direction. The CBO report is saying it saved or created 1.6 million jobs. I mean, those are hard numbers.
There was growth rate in the third quarter, so do another stimulus. That's
right.
I'm talking Krugman.
The GDP
but...
was up, right. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they need some kind of, like, works program, like the WPA, and they need to give tax credits for employers who hire more people. There's a lot of stuff the government can do right now.
See? We're having an ideas summit right here.
More aid to state and local government to prevent more layoffs of state workers. I mean, there's things that they can do right now.
Yeah, these are things
that... The Stephanie Miller Show is a job summit. Look at us. We're indeed. We're spitballing left and right here.
Well, then Obama should listen to us.
Well, I'm sure he does.
Every morning.
All right. 57 minutes after the hour. Right back with economist Christian Weller on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Right now, 6 minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 120 points. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Week one of going by coastal.
You pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. I am exhausted. StephanieMiller.com.
We still have 2 hours. We still have 2 hours left, though, so you know everything could go completely awry in the next 2 hours.
What else would be new?
Yeah.
StephanieMiller.com. Come live blog with us. Tweet me, won't you? Or you can email us, all their executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, surly associate producer, Rebecca Baker, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, and I asked the question that I'm sure in the minds of many listeners. Is Jim Ward sitting in Mama's old seat or in Jim's old seat? And Jim is in his old seat.
Yes.
Although I thought he could use Mama's big computer there since I'm not in L.A.
Yes, but I have all the crazy bookmarks for all the crazy conspiracies.
Porn sites.
Yes, I don't have the proper porn sites or conspiracy sites bookmarked. So Jim Ward is sitting
your
in his rightful place
sites
where
are
he
lame.
Always is. What'd you say?
I said your porn sites are lame.
How dare you?
Oh, what do you got against furries? Come on.
Oh, exactly. Oh. Listen, there's been a couple in Times Square that are running away from me. Come here, big bird. All right.
Furries are allowed to get married in New York, but gay people, no.
No. Tom in Chicago, where Mama is going tomorrow for the big event for WCPT. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Mama. How are you?
Good, baby.
What do I have to do to get tickets for tomorrow night? I know you're sold out.
I think you can go to chicagosprogressivetalk.com, and there's still a way to get VIP tickets. Give it a shot.
You think?
Do you have a furry costume, Tom?
Do I have a...
All right, never mind. Thanks for calling, Tom. All right, I don't... John, stop it! John can see my bookmarks here. All right, listen... This is we got big doings this morning. We got a breaking news. The unemployment numbers have gone down very unexpectedly. Still not good. 10.2 to 10, but going in the right direction.
That's right.
And unexpected. Why, we need to talk to RoboCop, Christian Weller, who also happens to be a fancy economist at the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you for being had, as usual.
Welcome to the East Coast.
Hey, thank you. Now, this was unexpected, no? The drop in unemployment numbers?
It was unexpected, and as was the much larger drop in the job losses. We only lost 11,000 jobs. Most people had expected somewhere between 120,000, 150,000 jobs to be lost. So that's the really good news. The other good news is that the job gains come predominantly in the private sector. So this is not the government doing it. This is the private sector doing it. So the bottom line here is the stimulus works the way it was supposed to work. We're in terms of timing, exactly where we should be. The economy turned around probably June, July this summer, so we're 4 or 5 months behind in the labor market, and that's typical. That is what everybody expected. So that shows that the stimulus works, that policy can do positive things. It's not, the government is not all evil, as some people would like it to be. Mm-hmm. And
Christian, that's what the CBO report said, basically, right, is that the stimulus has worked, that it saved or created, maybe as many as 1.6 million jobs?
That's correct. But given that we had lost up to over 7 million jobs, that was a little bit less. And the other part is there's still a lot of work to be done. The other part is also you really need to get to positive job territory. We have saved a lot of jobs, but at this point we really need to start creating jobs, especially to start chipping away at these enormous job loss overhangs that are hurting especially minority families. I looked at the numbers, for instance, of African-American youth. Their unemployment rate is 49.4% at this point. That requires a very heavy lift. We knew that this was going to be. This was the worst recession since the Great Depression. So there is a lot of work to be done. The stimulus, it was a very good initial down payment. We knew that that's exactly what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to prevent the depression, but more needs to be done, and that's why we need healthcare reform. That's why we need energy reform. That's why we need more stimulus, more
jobs. Well, that's what the president said at the job summit, that, I mean, green jobs, that could be the stuff that's the quickest, right, to get going.
Right, because what you're looking for is, first you wanted to stop the economy from going into a depression, and now you need to focus on building a very strong growth for years to come. And investing in the green economy is certainly one way of going there. You can do it because basically what you're doing is you're using existing structures at the government level, in the financial sector, in the private sector. You're just saying, like, look, instead of building more smokestacks that pollute the air, we want you to put a filter in the smokestack.
Now, the president yesterday said he's open to any ideas. However, Newt Gingrich's old musty ideas, I'm not really certain of. Did you see he recycled his old jobs first plan? It's the same, you know, tax breaks for the rich, but it's very simplistic. I don't know if you saw this, Christian, if you got this email. It's drill here, drill now, pay less, jobs here, jobs now, jobs first, and then there's a hard hat and gloves.
Yeah, I've tuned out a little bit because it's definitely not evidence-based policy making. You cannot push for,
but there's an American flag on an oil well. That must say something.
It must be good then. I actually do believe in numbers and data and evidence. And
the facts
and
of a liberal bias.
Well, the problem is that it's so easy to show that the tax cuts for the rich just simply don't work, because you look back at the Bush tax cuts of 2001 and 2003, they were supposed to promote investment, they were supposed to promote employment, they were followed immediately by the slowest wage growth, the slowest employment growth since the Great Depression, and by the slowest investment growth since the Great Depression. So you have these massive tax cuts for the rich that do nothing for the economy, and now the same people who got those tax cuts want to say, like, that's exactly where we should go. It's like, no, that's exactly where we shouldn't go.
Yeah, did you see, frankly, I don't think Newt Gingrich is a fan of yours, but he tried to steal the president.
He doesn't have to be, so.
Yeah. He tried to steal the president's thunder yesterday, hosting his own real job summit, and it really literally was these same recycled ideas. He called the president's just political theater,
frankly,
but his were real solutions.
They're
just the old repackaged ideas he's always had.
Yeah, I mean, the part of it is the president obviously used his bully pulpit at the White House to bring together thought leaders from industry, from academia, from think tanks, from politics, and had a lot of attention, media attention on the right issue, and there was a lot of momentum here to do more to get the economy on track.
It seems like the right wing.
Basically, the Republicans feel like they're not invited to the big party, and they are.
Well, I know. So it seems like they just are kind of
uninvited themselves by not providing good ideas.
Yes, they seem to just like the slogans that people can yell when they say drill here. People just arr!
Shill baby shill.
Drill now. Arr! It's like if you can have that response to it, then that's a good idea. And they're
how did Newt Gingrich make the Catholic Church even tackier? Why did he convert? You didn't need him.
You know, Christian, John Fugelsang was saying it was talking about the bond market. John.
Well, Krugman was talking about how the bond market thinks, you know, overall we're doing fine. That's not the same as saying the fundamentals of the economy are strong. But the situation's not necessarily completely dire if the bond market's doing well, right?
Yeah.
Christian, one of us is getting arrested right now. Who is it? Is it you?
Yeah, they're coming for me now because I'm talking bad about Newt Gingrich. The main thing is, again, it's like we're no longer looking at depression. Things are looking okay. The economy is looking up. But that's different from having a very strong recovery that's going to bring back 10, 12 million jobs in the next 2.5 years. And that's what we need to really make a dent in the financial insecurity, economic insecurity for many minority families, for many lower income families. And so there's two things here. One is we needed to stop the economy from its free fall, from the threat of a depression that we had early in the year. But now we really need to pay our put our attention towards, like, okay, well, how do we build a very strong recovery that grows the economy at 3% and above for years to come? Mm-hmm. And that requires not a stimulus, but making sure that we have the right policies in place that get the private sector investing in innovation, in new technology, in hiring mm-hmm. people, in training people. And that's what the energy packages are about. This is what healthcare reform is about, to make the cost of doing business predictable. Those kinds of things. And that's what, where the attention now has to lie.
Christian, talk to me about the Ben Bernanke hearings yesterday. You had Bernie Sanders. I don't know if you heard him.
Not since the Great Depression has the financial system been as unsafe, unsound, and unstable as it has been during Mr. Bernanke's tenure.
Bernanke said, we played a central role in efforts to quell the financial turmoil. Taken together, the Federal Reserve's actions have contributed substantially to the significant improvement in financial condition and to what now appears to be the beginnings of a turnaround in both the U.S. and foreign economies. So Chris Dodd kind of backed what he was saying, but clearly Bernie Sanders with another view. What's yours?
Well, I think there is a mixed view. I mean, you can't blame Ben Bernanke for all the mess that we have. He only came in at the tail end of this. But he certainly carried on the legacy of Alan Greenspan of kind of a hands-off Fed. Well, and then you look at his speeches before the crisis, even during the crisis, where he's like, okay, well, if things go really wrong, we'll step in and help out. And that's not what we want from the chief regulator of our financial system. We want them to keep a close eye on it so that things don't go wrong. And that's not how Alan Greenspan or Ben Bernanke saw things. Now, Ben Bernanke has changed his tone, but I think where Bernie Sanders and others are nervous is this change in tone from Ben Bernanke serious? Is he going to be a better regulator, a more proactive regulator in the future, or is he just saying that to keep the Bernie Sanderses of the world off his back?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yep, there you go. All right, Christian, you have kept your probation officer waiting long enough. Thank you for
you're under arrest, frankly.
Thanks for taking time for us. Christian Weller from the Center for American Progress, fancy economist guy. Thank you, Christian.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. All right. What a mighty, mighty good man.
He is a mighty good man. He's got that fancy book learning.
I think we got to put Bernanke and Geithner and Summers on an ice floe, if you can find one.
It's Christmas season. I bet Rudolph has room.
There you go.
Rudolph promised we'd have jobs by Christmas.
Look at what he can do.
No child wants to play with a Charlie in the box.
He can't even get a job making a Charlie in the box. And he definitely can't be a dentist.
I just want to be a dentist.
I'd like to be a dentist.
No!
He had a perfectly good job making toys, and he walked away in this economy.
Listen, I have a friend with an advanced degree. She's a doctor. She can't get a job. She's going to open a hoe house, she thinks, in Vegas. Things don't get better. All right. He's got that fancy book learning, Jim, the facts and the figures. Mm. The nudie, his little thing, it's just the... It's the things that can elicit a primal yell. That the drill here.
Please let him run for president. I want Gingrich to run for president so bad.
Gingrich Palin. That would be great.
To see them with Mitt having a three-way cage match. The way these people hate each other. And then Paul Lente can come in and Bobby Jindal can be their punching bag. It'll be beautiful.
All right. Thunderdome. Which we have some Palin-esque news as we continue. 20 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, this is Buddy in Columbus.
Oh, that Buddy. Pardon me. Hi, Buddy.
Okay. I thought we had our full complement of buddies already.
Yeah. They're spawning. Hello, buddy. Go ahead.
Anybody will work. Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Are we still on for the very mooky Christmas party at the compound this weekend?
Oh,
be quiet.
Out. Everybody out.
Hey, Chris, are you going to send a limo to LAX to pick me up?
She didn't leave her credit card. I can't.
All right. That's enough for the trashing
mama's
house.
They have the water slide set up and everything.
Yeah.
Well, is the charge still open at the liquor barn?
Jack, she closed
Listen,
her account.
I just got the condoms out of the central vacuum system a couple of days ago. That is not Jesus' job. All right, that's it for that. Let's let's move on. So
yeah.
We
bring a hat to throw all the keys in.
Sarah Palin, still on her little book tour there, John.
Yeah, it's exciting. I tried reading it, but I got bored and quit halfway through it.
I much prefer Going Rouge. Yes.
Going Rouge, Sarah Palin, An American Nightmare, hilarious.
Yes.
You can go to StephanieMiller.com and click on the, what you call it, the
on the banner ad there.
To buy it. Hilarious. Yeah. We'll be getting the author on in a bit, I'm certain.
Yes. I wonder how many right-wingers read halfway through it before they realized they'd been had.
Well, wait a minute.
I don't get it.
Well, Fox News accidentally showed the cover of Going Rouge when they meant to show the cover of Going Rogue.
A bunch of dopes.
Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
She's no longer the chief executive of Alaska, but she should still be called governor, and in English only, please. That was the message sent out by officials at the Mall of America, who told reporters planning to cover the Minneapolis area stop on the Going Rogue tour that they must address her by her former title, and the guidelines also ban foreign reporters, allowing only English-speaking press.
Gracias, but no gracias.
Well,
you
quit, betcha.
You can't keep
betcha.
The title.
Also, too?
You betcha, Manuel. No, you gotta get out. I'll have to bring those answers back to you. You can't speak the English.
Frau Palin, sind Sie ein Vollidiot oder nur...
Guys and gals! All right. Wow. The far-right, wacky teabagger wing of the Republican Party just gets more and more entertaining.
We love them.
Yes, Glenn Beck-inspired teabagger candidates. There's a bunch of them, you know.
Well,
this is fun.
I like teabaggers because they won't choke.
He has been galvanizing his supporters to run for office. Today, conservative activist Eric Forcade announced he is running in the Republican primary to unseat longtime Republican Bill Young in Florida, explaining his reason for running. He's inspired by the values that have been popularized by Glenn Beck. Beck's 912 project and its closely related Tea Parties have inspired a number of other challengers to Republican lawmakers. Deemed insufficiently pure. For instance, guess who's in his crosshairs now, Chris?
Oh,
your old state. John McCain.
Oh.
A Beck enemy because he has one time had some sort of moderate type.
He's insufficiently pure.
Yes.
You're not really German.
Well,
he's facing a potentially serious challenge from current radio show host.
Yes.
Former Representative J.D. Hayworth.
He is. He has the afternoon show on my former radio station.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful because now the question is, will Sarah Palin endorse McCain over the teabagger, or will she throw McCain under the buggy?
So now they're not just taking their marching orders from crazy right-wing radio hosts. Actually, the legislators are going to be crazy right-wing radio hosts.
He used to be Representative J.D. Hayworth. He used to be in the House. And then he was voted out, and so he got a radio show. And so now he's trying to get into the Senate.
Someone's got Al Franken envy.
Exactly.
Not everyone that's done a radio show and be a legislator.
But before he was in the House, he was a sportscaster on the CBS station there.
Well, then.
Just like Palin.
Just like Palin.
Exactly.
There you go. There's your qualification there.
Only one college for him, though.
By the way, the Harlem Gospel Choir just figured out who Glenn Beck is and has pulled out of his event.
They're racist. That's why. Deep-seated hatred for white people.
They were scheduled to perform the opening act for the Glenn Beck Christmas sweater.
The what? The what?
Pardon me?
What is that?
It's his show, the Christmas sweater.
He talks about the sweater that his mom gave.
A return to redemption.
Kids made for him or something.
Jesus likes the death penalty and
stuff. Yes. Yes. Anyway, the Harlem Choir has said, okay, we did. Oh, Glenn Beck. All right, 28 minutes after the hour. More with the doings of the far right as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is it me or is
Stephanie Miller
getting hotter?
Well, not according to Clark in Jacksonville, Florida. Steph, I can't hear your box very well since you became bi. Turn it up, and you don't play with it as much anymore. I love your box. It cracks me up. More box. Oh, all right. Well, you know, Chris, as you know, we're just trying to get the levels right here.
Is yeah.
How's that? Is that all right?
The problem is the box won't fit in this room.
Your box is
too
big. I
beg your pardon, John, people saying.
Your box is too wide.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Oh, boy.
Hey, surgery for that now.
Needs a little freshening. Don't say the thing about a broom handle and a garbage stick. Okay.
garbage stick.
1-800-STEP-12.
Throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, as the white kids say, you didn't, you didn't.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, to join our little party. Yeah, I've not been playing with my box as much. As I'm just, we're still working out the technical kinks, aren't we, Chris?
Yes,
and by
sure.
kink, we
Girl,
refer to
I
me.
I want to be with you all of the time.
Because I have to touch buttons myself, which is not
right.
Advisable.
She's going through a big change, folks.
Yeah. But not, yes. Is it the big change?
Stop playing with the buttons on your box.
All right.
I don't get it.
Okay. So we were talking about what's going on the teabagger right, on the far, far right. How's about two new polls report that Sarah Palin and Rush Limbaugh are the most powerful conservatives in the country. Think about that
for
a minute.
Wow.
According to a 60 Minutes Vanity Fair survey, 26% rate Limbaugh the most influential conservative, followed by Fox News host Glenn Beck at 11%. In a Washington Post poll, a plurality of Republicans say Palin best reflects their party's own values, and they could vote for her if the presidential battle were held today.
Did any working Republican politicians make the top 10? Most influential Republicans?
Check this out. Just 1% picked George Bush as the best reflection of the party's principle. This is my favorite polling statistic ever. Only a single person. It's Dick Cheney.
One person.
Wow. Not 1%.
And that person
one
was Dick
person.
Cheney.
Wow. Yeah. And that's a self-loathing gay person in the Republican Party.
Not even his daughter voted for him.
She's like, that homophobe? No way. Boy, this is sad news, too, for Lou Dobbs, who is a potential candidate, apparently, for president. Anti-immigrant group withdraws support for Lou Dobbs.
Oh, wow.
He's deeply offended his base. So he's not anti-immigrant enough for an anti-immigrant group.
You know, the haters are hating the hater for not hating enough.
I'm telling you, he apparently went on Telemundo, which right there.
Oh, wow.
That's,
what a panderer.
Traitor.
He apparently voiced some sort of support for some sort of path to citizenship.
What?
You mean like Reagan did? When he granted amnesty?
Yes. Dobbs created shockwaves last week when news broke about his pro-amnesty comments on Telemundo that appear to be a departure from his prior support. Blah, blah, blah.
So we hate your lack of hate, Senator Dobbs.
Exactly.
He loves votes more than he loves hate.
What the hell's happening on the right wing when Lou Dobbs is an anti-immigrant enough?
All right, beautiful. It's like Thunderdome. Five hacks enter, one hack leaves. Fantastic.
It's Waterworld on the right.
Reagan apparently was a raving liberal.
He was compared to these guys. Reagan wouldn't be allowed in the Republican Party. Eisenhower wouldn't be allowed in the Republican Party.
He wanted zero nukes, which couldn't be Frencher and Gayer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Crist is going to get teabagged.
Speaking of.
Excuse me?
Really?
Pardon me?
Hmm? This is news?
Why hasn't this happened before?
The far right has targeted him as being too moderate, as you know.
Yeah, among other things.
In a message callers hear when they get put on hold after calling Governor Charlie Crist's office, Chris transposes a couple of numbers by mistake and turns the phone number for Florida Kid Care and a number you call for hot, horny girls. That must have been on just his own personal speed.
Talk about
got there by mistake.
No,
such a thing as having too much of a beard. And
he somehow got Tiger Woods speed dial. And,
I'm sorry, Charlie Crist is so gay. I came out to my parents.
No, come on.
Yes,
kid.
The exceedingly neat and tan formerly bachelor governor.
The most masculine thing about Lindsey Graham is his first name. So.
What is Mrs. Crist about him being teabagged, I wonder?
I don't know.
They don't talk much.
She lives in
the wedding photo.
She lives in the Niagara Falls area. You wouldn't know her.
Get me to a nunnery.
All right. Representative Alan Grayson, of course my future husband, called Senator Tom Coburn delusional Wednesday night for telling seniors they'll die sooner if the Democrats propose cuts to Medicare are enacted. First of all, he's stealing his act.
Yeah.
But second of all, Alan Grayson's right.
He is.
Yeah, did you see Tom Coburn? He said you're going to die. Under the Democrats' plan.
You know what? 100% of the people under the Democrats' plan will die.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact. Eventually, they will.
Yes.
All of them.
There's nothing in the Democrats' health care bill that would put any senior at risk at all, Grayson said. The basis for what he's saying is delusion. He had said that the Republican health care plan, of course, was to die quickly. But he said what I said was the truth. I mean, I have a study to back me up, which is true.
For God's sake, just die.
Yes. All right. And back to fighting amongst ourselves. Democratic Senator Ben Nelson said Thursday the need for a stronger anti-abortion language in the Senate health bill is non-negotiable, and he will filibuster the legislation without it.
Too late.
Abortion is likely to be the next issue brought to the floor for debate following votes Thursday on women's health care and Medicare. Senator Barbara Boxer, the matron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show.
B-Box rocks.
Yes, she B-Box indeed rocks. She said the Stupak language would not pass the Senate. She said of Nelson, I think he has said different things at different times. So, you know, this has become a game of chicken. It's calling everyone's bluff, isn't it, on the abortion language, on the public option.
Filibuster this.
Well, this is how major legislation gets done, unfortunately.
This is some damn ugly sausage.
It really is.
There's no more glaciers, but they're compensating at this pace.
We're seeing beaks and lips all over the place.
like just one toe, like with a, with a hangnail.
It's like a John Woo movie.
So the job summit, as that we were talking about earlier with Christian Weller, President Obama dismissed criticism of the White House job summit. He said, I assure you there's extraordinary criticism that discussions like this can produce real results. If I listened to the skeptics, I wouldn't be here. I'm looking for specific recommendations that can be implemented, and I need everybody to bring their A game. He saluted FDR's vision of bold, persistent experimentation, said that the government can help. Ultimately, true economic recovery is going to come from the private sector. Wow, what a socialist. Yeah. He said, if there are things we're doing in Washington that inhibit you, we want to know.
The private sector?
If there's things the government is doing to inhibit you. The president yesterday.
There is extraordinary skepticism that any discussions like this can actually produce results. I'm well aware of that.
Well, they'll produce bad results. you'd listen to the Republicans.
Yeah, well,
no
that's
plan.
What I'm saying, Jim. I don't know if you heard the news, but, you know, unemployment numbers really unexpectedly dropped this morning from 10.2 to 10. Again, not great to party over 10%
right
unemployment.
Anyway.
Yeah. Right, and unexpected, and just backing up the CBO's report that I think, you know, the stimulus is working.
The stimulus stopped the hemorrhage. You know, I mean, it was a tourniquet all along, and it slowed the collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The president again yesterday.
If there are things that we're doing here in Washington that are inhibiting you, then we want to know about.
That's his part of his Kenyan socialist plot. That's part of his Muslim extremism.
Yeah.
His Muslim.
We promise not to tax you or stop you from offshore accounts or sending your jobs overseas.
Why can't we have
Paul? I don't want to hear him
we
saying that.
Paul Krugman and Robert Reich.
Yes,
in
we
charge
do.
Of
the economy.
The economy, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be a fair swap. We've got to get them off the TV and into the White House and get the people in the White House so we can get them jobs on the TV instead.
Or we can all have prenups with Tiger and just, you know, that way.
Joe Biden yesterday at the job summit.
It's amazing what we've forgotten already in 10 months, just how dire and bleak things looked 10 months ago. And so the Recovery Act has put us on the path to recovery. It pulled us back from the brink.
Indeed it did, but not according to John Boehner. John Boehner yesterday.
John Boehner.
John Boehner.
Biggest problem that we heard from our economist with regard to why employers aren't hiring, it's all the job-killing policies that are being offered by this administration and this Congress.
What?
And creating an awful lot of uncertainty for American employers.
John Boehner.
Did you love how he said our economist? He means the one he bought, the one the Republicans bought to testify and say everything Obama says.
Ice T song, job killer.
It's like when they talk about global warming. Well, our scientist,
yes,
the one that Exxon paid for,
we have
says,
paid chills here that say.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, these guys, I mean, the Republican Party complaining about the economy, it's like the arsonist telling the fire department they missed a spot on the blaze.
Yeah. Yeah. Newt Gingrich, frankly, yesterday.
Frankly, create an American energy plan which enables us to use American coal, American oil, American gas, American nuclear power, American biofuels.
Frankly,
American
pollution. Frankly, is it American?
If he can create as many jobs as he's created angry ex-wives, I'll vote for Newt.
Jim, you could go back to the days when you had to carry coal up from the basement.
Yeah.
If Newt has his way.
Coal.
Oh, man. The
coal
Catholic
now,
Church just
coal
got
forever.
Lame.
Yeah, coal now, coal forever. It's such a forward-thinking idea.
Clean coal.
43 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and much more.
Safe radiation.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We've gone by.
Are you playing
by.
With your box again?
Yes, we've gone by. Huh? I am exhausted. I've been by the entire week. It is the very first week of the Stephanie Miller Bicoastal experimenting. Aren't we? We're going through a phase.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
It's like we're in college again, going through a phase.
I feel like I'm listening to Rock Lobster in the dorm back at USC. I'm trying a few things out.
All that time you spent being curious.
That was up 130 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lee in Oak Park in Chicago, where Mom is going to be tomorrow night. Hi, Lee.
I can't wait.
Me too.
Can I just say this whole bi stuff is throwing this dyed in the wool lesbian way off.
I know, because you're in the middle. I mean, you're, you know, right there in the middle of the country. You can't even commit to either coast.
Hey, I'm calling to tell you that I think you should arrive in grand style tomorrow at Unity Temple where you're performing by riding the holiday L train out to a park.
Oh, I know. Can you believe they're letting a godless communist like me into a temple for an event?
I did wonder about that.
Yeah, me too.
It will be a wonderful setting for your show. I think you'll really enjoy it. But, you know, there is a Santa that rides the train, so I thought maybe you and Santa can...
Oh, fabulous. I'll sit on Santa's lap and we'll see what comes up.
Yeah. Blagojevich got his job.
All right, thank you, Lee.
Find out what he has in his package.
Joe in Minneapolis on the healthcare debate. Hi, Joe.
Hi. It's time for the Democrats to put this whole healthcare thing on a shelf and blame the Republicans for not letting anything get through. Because what they're going to pass is going to be so watered down, it's doomed to failure. Then the Republicans...
I hope you're not right, but I have fear...
Or whoever wants to say it later will say, see, we told you so, and it'll be gone for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have to set this in, say the Republicans would not let this happen, get back to the voting here in 2012 and get enough people, because if it ain't single payer or the public option involves everybody, it's financially going to be a disaster. All this is going to do is force everyone to become customers of the health care insurance company,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to fail, and it'll be gone forever.
Is it worth it to you if it gets rid of pre-existing conditions? Is that worth it?
I obviously wanted single payer, so but I got to say, I understand the comments on the other side that Social Security, Medicare, a lot of things we had to go back and strengthen, that this is our first chance in how many zillion years to get something started. And yes, pre-existing conditions. I think that's a huge moral issue.
I mean, 96%
of the population. I think getting that is,
we'll have crappy coverage for 96% of Americans. And, I mean, they'll have to buy the evil insurance that Obama's been complaining about for 2 years. But it's a fragile start to something that can be built upon.
Yeah, but if it's, I think what the insurance companies are hoping is to get Republicans in landslides in next year. And to take the White House back in 2012.
That's a good point. We should get something passed now there's no chance, there's no guarantee, that we're going
to.
By the way, Jim, did you get Julie's email I sent you? She wants you to read something in Dick Morris's voice.
Oh no. Yes.
Speaking of fear mongering on he's been doing a lot of fear mongering on healthcare. What is this about?
It's a book that he's pushing for the holidays.
For the holidays.
It's a letter, yes, from Dick Morris.
Oh, we need some holiday music then, Chris. All right, go ahead.
When I think of Dick Morris, I think ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jim.
Dear friend,
Christmas and Hanukkah are coming, and even though the title is a bit harsh, you might want to give a special edition of my latest book, Catastrophe, as a gift. It's now available for purchase by PremierCollectibles.com.
That's not for the kids.
This hardcover edition of Catastrophe is personally signed by me. It comes with, when you order it now, a free leather gift box. Mm-hmm. Leather made from endangered species who died horrible deaths. It's to cover my book in the Kansas box. It's a great holiday and birthday gift.
You made that part
No. Well, no. Actually, yeah. Okay, yeah.
To view the free leather gift box and order this collectible edition of Catastrophe, click here now. Catastrophe, how Obama Congress and the special interests are transforming a slump into a crash, freedom into socialism, a disaster into catastrophe, and how to fight back without running out of breath. There's only a limited number of these collectible autographs. This is Catastrophe. Order now to ensure delivery by the holidays.
What? You don't have the one of him dropping through three floors?
I have to find that.
All right. Wait, you forgot the most fear-mongering part, Jim. Read How to Stop Obama's Drive to Socialism. Do that part.
Take the hooker's toes out of your mouth.
Let's see. Where is that?
I love the sign. Thank you, Dick. Read How to Stop Obama's Drive to Socialism. He's coming rampant.
Yes. Okay. Read How to Stop Obama's Drive to Socialism. It's coming rapid inflation and his mutilation of the healthcare system. The mutilated. Little old lady got mutilated late last night.
There he goes.
He's falling on a bag of nails again.
Falling on a floor full of hammers.
And he's the in-house liberal at Fox News.
Yeah. Little old lady did get mutilated late last night. All right, let's get... Now I need to hear Tom Brokaw saying that, too. Jim,
little old lady got mutilated last night. A big plate of beef chow mein at IHOP Works.
All right, it's a Friday show. We've gone off the rails.
Yeah, we have.
Pauly in Chicago.
Warren Zevon.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, Pauly, welcome.
And the team for bringing me on. I wanted to talk about this attack on Obama for having a job summit. You know, the Republican stalwart, President Reagan, had a stock market crash during his term, and the day that it happened, he assembled a team of rivals, even if you will, threw out yellow notepads and asked everyone to put their best ideas on what to do. In other words, he held a summit and got good ideas. Now, I'm excited.
Yes, but it was different because Reagan did it.
Yeah, well, it was different because Reagan did it.
It means more when a union buster does it.
Not only did he do the summit, but he the very next day put over a dozen of the ideas into practice immediately. And you know what? Without a lick or word of criticism, Stephanie.
Yep, I know. Thank you. It's just the exactly. There's actually many things like Obama has done or said that Reagan almost did or said exactly the same thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, Reagan created lots of jobs. They were for Contras, but still, you know, yeah. Yeah. Something.
Job somewhere.
Air traffic controllers he had to fire.
No, but it is. It's ridiculous. When, you know, Obama says zero nukes, you know, it's...
Reagan signed a torture ban in 85. He signed a ban on torture. He gave amnesty to illegal aliens.
Yeah, when he negotiated with Russia...
He was a red.
Right, exactly. Blah, blah. Okay, the head of the Secret Service asserted yesterday that the security breach at last week's White House state dinner was an aberration, but has put three uniformed officers on leave. Pardon me?
Okay.
We have Mark Sullivan, director of the Secret Service.
This is our fault and our fault alone. There's no other people to blame here. You know, look at me and blame me.
It's the worst thing since the Secret Service had Bin Laden surrounded at Tora Bora. He walked out.
Yes. The chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, Representative Benny Thompson, said the country is fortunate the affair didn't end in a night of horror.
It could have, very easily.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Chris Matthews was going off about that. It was so funny watching Tweety say, you know, they got a metal detector. I don't care. They can grab a knife off the table. What if they had Chinese ninja stars taped under the table? They could have picked up some glassware and gotten them that way.
He did not
I'll give you more ideas, potential assassins. Keep watching.
Chinese ninja stars. Ninjas are Japanese, first of all.
Did you see Kill Bill? Did you see the Kill Bill? They could have done the five-point heart exploding finger punch. I enjoyed the first picture better, but the second one had its moments. More of a John Ford kind of thing. Play hardball.
What about another one with Uma Thurman?
How do you know they're not one of the Deadly Viper Assassination Squad? They could have done it. It's Black Mamba. Did you see the film?
Fair enough. He didn't. All right.
Bert Lance wouldn't let this happen.
Funny. All right, yeah, you know that you are classless losers when other classless reality show losers think you're a loser. Bravo Real Housewives think the Salahis have no class.
Really?
So the real reality stars think the wannabe reality stars are...
Wait a minute, which housewives?
The table-flipping ones.
The New Jersey one. Oh,
Teresa Guidushi.
No.
She said it's a little crazy. I wouldn't go any place I wasn't invited to. It's poor etiquette.
And then they're from etiquette. I'm from Jersey.
That's like having Linda Tripp call you a crappy friend. That's what that's like.
Caroline Manzo said, there's plenty of ways to get your 15 minutes. I thought it was irresponsible. Very irresponsible.
From the real fame whores of Bravo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, cracking her gum and it was friggin' irresponsible. It got no friggin' class.
Yeah, and I'm a friggin' lady, all right? So shut the hell up.
She flipped a table in an episode.
You got no class.
Oh.
Who wants a pasta puzzle? All right, 57 minutes after the hour, right back with more Celebrity Stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yoo-hoo! It is hour number three of the Stephanie Miller Show. First week by Coastal. Everybody, oh, worn out. 1-800.
Dove in that pool.
Steph12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Okay, promise over the weekend I'll get the pictures up of the dog's trip on Pet Airways here to New York from Los Angeles. I'm figuring out the BlackBerry thing with the thing. Okay.
And your trip to the Bronx.
And
your trip to the Bronx.
I didn't have to go to the Bronx.
Oh, you didn't?
Okay. No.
Oh.
You know, although I would have loved to because I love the Bronx.
Yes.
Oh, look, it's Congressman Elliot Engel representing the great borough of the Bronx. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. I'm glad you love the Bronx. I also represent Westchester and Rockland. I don't want to leave them out.
That's right.
I've lived in Westchester.
But, oh, good. Well, we wish you were here right now.
I'm back in New York. I moved up, but I'm in Manhattan this time.
Well, good.
All right. All right. Well, anyway, no, I apparently...
I was saying you have to invite me over for coffee.
Yes, absolutely. So, Congressman, a lot of stuff going on. The big job summit yesterday, we got unexpectedly good news this morning, right, that the jobless rate dropped from 10.2 to 10. It was expected to go up, right?
It was, and when I heard about it, my remark was, too bad it's not 9.9.
Yep.
I think that we're not going to jump for joy that 10% of the population is not employed, but at least it shows that things are moving in the right direction, and all the critics that are saying nothing's working, you know, the administration's doing nothing, the Congress is doing nothing, well, you know what? We are showing that we are doing something, and we're trying to dig the country out of the hole that George Bush and the Republicans left us in. I mean, let's not forget where the responsibility lies. They ran this country, you know, down, degraded down for 8 years, and now we have to pick up the pieces, so we're trying.
And it seems like that's what the CBO report, and, you know, and certainly these news numbers are indicating, isn't it, that you know, this administration has at least pulled us back from the brink. The stimulus is working. Again, you know, like you say, we have a long ways to go, but thank God we're going in the right direction.
Definitely. I mean, the stimulus is working. A lot of people don't see it in their everyday lives, but I can tell you that we would have much higher unemployment if it wasn't for the stimulus. The stimulus going to local governments and state governments has saved jobs, has stopped teachers from being fired and policemen from being fired and things like that. So, yes, it should have been more. It could have been more, and hopefully it will be more. I mean, I would like to see public works jobs created, and I would like to see perhaps the transportation education bill used as a stimulus. But, you know, we're on the right track, and we're doing much more than our Republican friends did for 8 years and the 6 years when we had a Republican president and Republican majorities in both houses. These so-called fiscal conservatives drove up the debt and drove down the country into the ground. And so, again, we're trying to dig out from under it, and I think we're on our way.
Congressman, speaking of transportation, is there any way that you can make the subway conductors more easily understandable? I don't know what stop to get off on if you're... Can that be in the transportation bill?
That's part of the charm of New York City, because if you don't know, you make it up at the wrong stop, and you kind of stumble into a new area of the city. And then you'll
stimulate that area by accident. Let me just say, I enjoy as much as I enjoy the area. Exactly. All right, Congressman, the Democrats in the Senate looks like it held together, at least on the first vote for health care. Are you confident today that we're, I think what everybody's concerned about is that what we end up getting, and you're one of those health care warriors, you know, that's from the beginning. Are we going to get something so watered down that it's not going to work?
Well, I think that we will get something somewhat watered down from the House version. It's what I've always expected and suspected, but I think we will get a final product that moves us forward to a great degree, and I think that we ought to grab it. Sometimes, you know,
we
can't let something that's not perfect be destroyed because even though it's good, and I think I don't doubt for a minute that the Senate will pass a version of the bill. We'll get. Well, probably by the end of this year, we'll come together in conference, maybe this year or January, and hopefully the goal is to pass a bill by the time the president does the State of the Union, probably the last week in January. And, you know, when the president, I think I said this the last time, Stephanie, when the president came and spoke to us on the days that we voted on the health care bill, I mean, he stressed the fact that this is good policy, but it's also good politics. I mean, I think the country wants to see the Democrats do something. They elected us to make changes, and if we don't make changes, I think we'll pay the price. If we do make change, and it's not only because of political reasons, it's when the political reasons are good, but it's the policy, the public policy, that's even more important. And I think ultimately we will pass a bill that will be good and that we'll be proud of. And I just want to say that in the 60s, when we had the Civil Rights Act, we didn't pass everything all at once. We came back a year later and then came back again and pass the bill. So if we have to do that with health care,
you know, and we got to keep, you know, you're right, Congress, we got to keep our eyes on the prize. I mean, we had this recent MIT analysis that backs up the president and what you guys are doing, that Americans will pay less than they do, for coverage now. The CBO, you know, being very specific, despite what you hear on Fox News, the CBO being very specific about, you know, backing up the president's health care plan, right?
It's the conservative point of view.
Well, it's true that the CBO came out today and they said the effect of the stimulus has had a great impact on a lot of the things related to our economy. You know, it's interesting. I was at a breakfast this morning with the New York Partnership down in the Wall Street area, and Rupert Murdoch was one of the co-chairs of the breakfast, so I actually saw him this morning. He had mentioned that he thought the administration and the president had an anti-business point of view, but Mayor Bloomberg actually set him straight and said, no, the administration doesn't, that the administration is moving forward, moving us forward, and trying their best to do a good job. So I was pleased with that, and I think there was a it may be begrudging, but there were some people there who really understood that we are moving the country forward in a positive way, and we're going to continue.
Yep. Sorry you had that breakfast with Rupert Murdoch. But Congressman, before you go, Afghanistan, your thoughts on the speech, the strategy?
Well, I think the speech was a good speech, but I'm concerned. I'm concerned because, and I said this, you know, I'm on the House Foreign Affairs Committee as well as the Energy and Commerce Committee, and Hillary Clinton and Bill Gates and Secretary Gates came, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff came, and what I said was, well, I'd like to give the President the benefit of the doubt, but my fear is that we're going to get bogged down in an endless war. And once again, you know, we're saying we're going to get out in 3 years, but what happens in 3 years if we haven't achieved our goals? We're not going to just pull out. It goes on for another year. Another 2 years or whatever it is. And I think the American people are basically tired of wars, and I'm sorry to say I'm old enough to remember Vietnam. You know, that was a situation just ended 8,000 more troops, and we're going to turn the corner. We're going to turn the corner, and we never.
Yeah, but I
turn
feel I maybe it's because I trust this president more, Congressman, that I feel like, you know, he, if that is the case, that he'll know it. I mean, I just I guess I want to give him the benefit of the doubt to get, as you say, out of another huge mess that the Bush administration left him. And I think he did make the point that the historical analogy to Vietnam is not exactly apt, that, you know, obviously they did attack us from Afghanistan.
Right. Well, that's true. And as a New Yorker, you know, I feel the pain even more than anybody else because we were attacked. New York was attacked. And these are the people who attacked us. They plotted and planned in Afghanistan, and they're still there. So, yes, I do want to give the president the benefit of the doubt. I think that he tried to thread the needle. But I'm worried about getting bogged down because I think that, you know, again, we are cleaning up the mess that the Bush administration left us. You know, we went into Iraq. We took our eye off the ball. Iraq didn't attack us on 9/11. The Al Qaeda, with help from the Taliban, did. And one of the questions I also asked at the hearing was, where is Osama bin Laden, and why haven't we been able to get him in eight years? And if our intelligence is so poor that we don't know where he is, how much of that intelligence are we relying on now to send 30,000 more troops? And the other thing that bothers me, Stephanie, is that General McChrystal, if he's a good general and he's working hard, but I don't like the fact that he publicly tried to back the president into a corner by asking for 30,000, 40,000 more troops. And
that belongs behind closed doors. I agree with
you. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, but, Congressman, here's how confident I am in the administration. I lived in New York for 9/11, moved back to L.A., and I am confident in the terror trial, so if we are a target, I've moved back just in time, and that's... I think that we're doing the right thing, and I'm with the president.
Well, we are, and you know, I was telling people, well, you know, I live in New York and I work in Washington. I'm back and forth. These are the two cities, of course, that are on the radar screen the most for the terrorists, so I can't escape. But you know what? As New Yorkers and as Americans, we have to stand up to this and show that we have a resolve to defeat.
Yeah, so we're not scared of what someone's going to say in court.
That's,
you know,
right.
The criminals always say things in court that are, you know, ridiculous.
Well, and you know, I'm proud of our American justice system.
Absolutely.
And I think that justice system is going to work once again, and we can show the world why we're proud to be Americans. And we will be proud, and the justice system will convict these people. And I think it will be a lot better doing it in the open than doing it behind closed doors.
Yep. The the Bronx representing this morning, Manhattan representing. Thanks for calling, Congressman Elliot Engel. We always appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
All right, there he goes. Healthcare warrior,
That's
Elliot
right.
Engel.
Can you explain how Obama gets to keep his Nobel Peace Prize, but Milli Vanilli had to give the Grammy back?
All right, John Fugelsang. Don't rain in our parade. Bob in San Francisco, you're also a single-payer guy like Elliot Engel. Hello, Bob.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say that I'm against single-payer.
Oh, you're against single-payer?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Well, the reason is I think that you guys, you know, seem to be against the big corporations and whatnot, but when you
I work for one. I'm sitting in one right now.
But you talk about the profits of the health insurance companies and all that. But when you look at it, the government is just one big corporation, and it's funded by us, the taxpayer. We are the people who pay their salaries. And the thing is,
why do you think that? I mean, a healthcare industry works that's for profit. We're the only country that has this kind of system, and it's a mess.
Well, and that's the thing. Another argument that you guys use is, oh, you know, other countries have better health care. Really? I mean, if you were sick, would you not want to go to Johns Hopkins or the Mayo Clinic? Would you want to go to some place in Cuba?
It's not a question of quality of care. It's access to care.
Yes.
Can you name me a country with single payer that's ever tried to get rid of that system, sir?
Well, usually most of those countries are because they're under dictatorships and they can't
what?
Get rid of
France
them.
Is not under German dictatorship,
capitalist democracies.
if you look at
Britain is not a dictatorship. Canada is not a dictatorship.
We're talking every industrialized capitalist society in the world, sir, except us.
Yes. All right. Thank you for calling, sir. Thank you.
God.
Thank you. That's
what a
good.
Moron.
Your
dictatorships.
What a maroon.
Don't you love when they start with this?
What an ignoranimous.
Don't you love when they start with the assumption? Chris, what show was that on that Ed Schultz and I were both guests on? And the right winger, Georgette Moshbauer.
Oh.
She goes, oh, well, you don't have businesses. Listen, liberals don't understand. Like,
what?
We both have a business.
You are a small business.
I am a small business, damn you. All right. Oh, I will see Ed Schultz tonight at the big Dow Global holiday party tonight. And we have some exciting TV news that you won't know about till next week. Ha, ha.
You are big. It's the businesses that got small.
That's right. 20 minutes after the hour. Rebecca can tell you I'm a capitalist pig who doesn't care that my underlings work
That's right.
a pittance.
You pay us a pittance. That's why I have to live under a bridge downtown.
Yes, get out of my house, squatter. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right. It's the Stephanie Miller Hands Across America show. Shiny, happy people. Those are long, long arms. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Carrie in Chicago on the healthcare debate. Hey, Carrie.
How you doing? How you doing?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, before I talk about Howard Dean, when I was listening to you talk about the trial, I'm scared that they're innocent until proven guilty, just like OJ. So, I don't know. Kind of scares me.
You go to trial with the justice system you've got, sir.
Anyway, I was watching Howard Dean on Sunday morning, and he said that he wants to kill the bill because a pre-existing condition, if you have one, in his state, there's a 20% extra if you have a pre-existing condition. But in the health care bill, there's a two to four times normal premiums if you have a pre-existing condition. So, you know, if somebody pays $4,000, now they're going to pay $8,000. So that's bad. They either need to change or to take it out or do something.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. I was reading the CBO report. It says, you know, again, this is a nonpartisan analysis. It finds that lower administrative costs, increased competition, better pooling for risk will mean lower premiums for American families. Americans buying comparable health plans to what they have today in the individual market would see premiums fall by 14 to 20%. Those who get coverage through their employer today will likely see a decrease in premiums as well. And Americans who currently struggle to find coverage would see lower premiums because more people will be covered. In addition to welcome relief on costs, the CBO reports Americans will also have better insurance options. Where the CBO does see premiums rising, it's not because Americans are paying more for the same coverage, it's that they're making a choice to purchase better plans that weren't previously available to them. So
you're saying more competition is good for capitalism? Is that what you're? Is that socialist
idea
you're trying to pull here?
Or Mary Tiger Woods? All right.
Hey, you don't cheat on a woman after making her sit through that much golf.
Wow.
Sorry, it's just right is right.
So they have a prenup where I learn all my best stuff now. The New York Post.
No.
They have a prenup worth $300 million. Ooh, that would top the current celebrity divorce record held by Michael Jordan.
But if you're renegotiating now, it's a midnup.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to get even bigger.
Oh. Yes, the superficial.com says they are, she's Ellen Woods. Do you pronounce it Ellen?
Yep. It's probably Ellen.
Aileen.
Aileen.
Yeah, something
Aileen.
Like that.
Probably the Swedish was version. Elaine.
Mm-hmm. She was reportedly offered an immediate $5 million payment plus an additional $55 million added to her revised prenup if she stays married to Tiger for 5 more years.
A revised prenup? That seems kind of beside the point.
The superficial says it speaks volume about how much money Tiger is raking, and he's willing to peel off $80 million just to stay married to a woman he'll never see naked again. Fortunately, he's got a good golf grip for all that masturbating coming up.
For so many middle-aged men, the only joys in their life are golf and adultery, and it's so sad to see this happening right now.
Well, yeah.
Let's talk about how much adultery golf prevents, okay? Look, get off the man's case. He had an indiscretion, a 31-month mistake. Can you get off his case already now?
I love he's got to be enjoying this. According to the Sun Times, they've already begun intense marriage counseling at their home with a counselor who conducts sessions several times a day. Sound like fun, boys?
Oh. I guess the irony is that short-stay motels are the only product Tiger hasn't endorsed before. So.
That's like just 10 hours a day, Jim. What you thinking about? Why are you being so cold? Why are you being so distant? Why are you such a bastard? And then with someone else there to help you, to facilitate.
Right. When you send dirty text messages to skanks, it makes me feel...
It makes me feel this.
Getting so a billionaire can't trust an unhinged skank anymore. It's really sad.
All right. Sarah Jessica Parker says she will try not to spoil her kids, even though they have successful parents, which so far from what I'm gathering here in Manhattan, John, that means that no chauffeur to take the kid to the preschool.
Really?
Yeah. That's,
wow. Gritty.
Listen, they start worrying about what college they're going to get into before preschool, before the chauffeur even drops them off at their first day of kindergarten.
Mm.
28 minutes after the hour, right back on the 70s.
Stephanie Miller.
You're like a swarthy, big-hipped Kelly Ripa.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. We are joined by Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking time for us.
Happy to do it.
Well, I'm happy that the job numbers are better than expected, aren't you? I know 10% is nothing to get crazy about, but it went down, and that was not expected.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, bottom line is a lot of the stuff, including the stimulus package and some of the other decisions that were made, are actually working. I think the problem is, you know, the Obama administration set some pretty high bars when they said that, you know, we'd be able to hold unemployment at just over 8%. I think that was a huge mistake. I don't think anyone would have felt that that would have happened, given, I mean, our economy lost $16 trillion in value last year. You don't just sort of recover from that. So I think the expectations bar was set in the wrong place, but I do think we're making progress, and it's at this point it is all about getting jobs back.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Was there anything that came out of the jobs summit that caught your attention? Any idea that you like?
It's tough because, I mean, I think we have to be honest as policymakers that, you know, it's a massive economy, and we can't just push one button and make it better. I think there are some decent ideas out there in terms of, you know, focusing on employment. Certainly we want to help those who are unemployed for protracted periods of time. And I think, you know, some tax credits for job creation makes sense as well. And also we can change our tax policy to reward companies for keeping jobs onshore as opposed to offshoring them. This is an idea Senator Mark Warner has. And actually, Senator Warner's doing some great work on jobs creation. But I think we also, again, I mean, the one thing that George Bush was good at is he set very low expectations and managed to jump over them.
Limbo under that bar.
Yeah, and I fear that, you know, for all the confidence that the Obama administration has displayed, which is important, in some instances they've set expectations at a level that cannot be met, and then the people get cranky. So I want to make sure we don't promise that somehow, you know, some bill of Congress is going to pass that's going to automatically fix the nightmare that happened last year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Chris, do we have Senator Russ Feingold yesterday? Of course, this was the week of the big Afghanistan speech. He had this to say on the Senate floor.
I do not support the decision to prolong and expand a risky and unsustainable strategy in the region.
What is your take on Afghanistan? I know there's a lot of difference of opinion on this.
Yeah, well, I've been over there several times. I know General McChrystal quite well from my work with the Special Operations Command. I chair a subcommittee on the Armed Services Committee that works with them. And it is a very, very difficult situation. And I truly wish that we did not have a national security interest in that region, and in Afghanistan in particular. It's a very difficult place. But as the President, I think, made very clear, we do have a national security interest. The alliance between the Taliban and al-Qaeda is a danger to us, and we cannot have the Taliban retake Afghanistan. So we do have a national security interest in there, and we have to be very cautious about how we go forward in terms of pulling out and reducing our presence there. And we have to get an Afghan government that can stand, and that's going to be difficult. But overall, I should be honest, I think the President made a strong case for the plan that he laid out.
Senator John Kerry, of course, came down on the other side of this. I don't know if you heard him in the hearing.
I believe that the President appropriately narrowed the mission in Afghanistan.
Do you agree?
I do. And I think it was critical that he say said that we are not going to be there forever, and that he did set a date. At this date, that's when we're going to begin to draw down our presence in that country. We are not there for some sort of imperialistic mission. We do not want to dominate the country. We simply want to get them to the point where they can resist the Taliban, and then we need to start getting out. I think it was very important that he limit that mission, that he not say we're going to rebuild Afghanistan or we're going to completely vanquish the Taliban. I think he set a realistic set of goals that are important, and it's going to be difficult because, I mean, I represent Fort Lewis Army Base, and there are a few bases in the country that have suffered more casualties. I've been to many funerals out there. I know the families, and I know the pain, and I want to get out of there just as soon as we responsibly can.
Congressman, speaking of funerals, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the policemen in your district that were killed.
Yeah,
I mean, I just wanted to express, you know, my condolences. I know that's always such a tough thing when it, you know, when it happens in your backyard.
No, I appreciate that. It was, you know, it was a very, very, you know, difficult week, and continues to be a difficult week for the entire state, and certainly for the entire region. Just such a shocking, shocking crime. We rarely have police officers killed. Now we've had these four, and we actually had one just a month earlier, and it has really shaken us up around here. And so I appreciate the condolences, and you know,
well, and a group hug from across the country from the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank
Congressman Smith, we always appreciate you taking time for us and giving us your take on things. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Stephanie. I appreciate
it. All right. You too. There he goes, Representative Adam Smith.
Isn't it great to have an intelligent American congressman?
Yes.
Isn't it great to just hear that and be reminded we got some smart guys there?
We really do.
Yeah. Smart, moral men, they exist, and women.
Yeah, people in Minnesota are listening going, thanks for bringing it up. We got Michelle Bachmann. Thanks a lot, Skippy, for bringing that up.
Know your demographics.
All right. Back to Celebrity Stack, and more importantly, what does Celebrity Stack mean to me? Comcast bought NBC.
Yes.
There's a lot of trepidation that things are going to change on MSNBC, which would not be good timing for Mom.
Yeah, that would be really bad.
Comcast is even thinking about getting rid of the NBC brand, which I think it would be one of the most disastrous business decisions in the history of America.
Well, they're like a right-wing family, right?
They are a right-wing family. Uh-huh. They make the Bushes and the Murdochs look like Tiny Tim. But
and apparently, John Fugelsang says if you don't pay your Comcast bill, they send Jay Leno to your house.
That's the new policy. It's really scary.
That is really not necessary.
Yeah, they will send Jay. They will send Jay
to run you over with one of my 300 cards.
He doesn't even need the doorbell. He just stands outside and goes.
I'm going to install a new box here. I'm going to put the new cable box in for you, and I brought along Kevin Eubanks to laugh at my jokes for me. Come on. Crunch away. We'll make more. I never touch my Tonight Show money, you know that? That's fine. Thank you, Comcast. I'll wear your logo now. It's all good. They're never going to do it because the one bias in the media, every time someone says, oh, liberal bias in the media, the only bias they have is towards green. MSNBC makes a profit. Liberals, get your panties out of a bunch.
Yeah.
As long as MSNBC makes money, MSNBC...
That's what Ed Schultz was saying yesterday on the radio. Yeah.
I wouldn't worry
that he's not nervous, and if he is, and if he should be nervous, he said he'll have more time to fish. So I'll talk to him about
it
tonight at the holiday party, see if I can grill him on what's going on.
Yeah, it'll now be the Lou Dobbs MSNBC network.
Oh, yikes. All right, Lady Gaga is looking forward to grandchildren. She is going to be the best grandfather. Skip
the kids and go right there. Huh?
I guess she does have the lady parts.
Well, yeah.
Well,
doesn't she need kids before she can even think about grandkids?
She wants to get
ahead of Madonna on that.
You know, I heard she's going to be on Barbara Walters' 10 Most Spectacular Publicists special this year.
She just needs someone to hit her with her disco stick.
Roman Polanski has raised bail. He will be placed under house arrest. What are the chances of a flight risk? He will be placed under house arrest at his chalet.
His chalet arrest in
Gstaad. Oh, that's awful.
He's doing Martha Stewart time.
Yeah. He will be made to wear an electronic monitoring bracelet until a decision is made whether he will be extradited back here to America.
I think that they should lock him up for his remake of Oliver Twist.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Justice. Sometimes the Swiss aren't all that neutral, Roman.
Oh, Jim, did you see this one? You're a Stones fan. Speaking of arrests, Ron Wood, delisted.com, says he's been arrested for beating his girlfriend.
Oh,
235-year-old Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones was arrested in London after he was accused of beating his 20-year-old Russian girlfriend.
Oh, she tried to take the precious.
Ronnie's delisted writes, Ronnie's getting too old for all this. Peepaw should be sitting comfortably in a rocking chair, sipping on his hot cider and catching up on his stories on TV. Ronnie should not be throwing babies around like he's Monique and Precious. Ronnie, let go of that baby. Greg, grab the bong and simmer down. You might break a hip or something.
You don't see Bill Wyman smacking his child bride. No, no.
All right. We have more celebrity stack, and we will talk Afghanistan as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
So much fun, it should be illegal.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Robert Palmer.
It is the Stephanie Miller
the
Show.
Robert Palmer. Rest in peace.
Yep.
I've been wearing a black dress and playing a fake guitar all week.
But that's because you want to be in a goth band.
Because I'm bi.
What?
We are
bi-coastal. Huh?
We are completing week one of the Stephanie Miller bi experiment, the bi-coastal thing.
It's like we're in college again.
No, I think she's just confused.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, here's bad news. So in California, of course, we had the odious Prop 8, the gay bashing, the non-gay marriage thing.
Yes.
And now I get here to New York, and New York has just defeated marriage equality.
You need to stop moving to different states, because everywhere you go...
What the hell?
The good news is that gay people are not opposed to incompetent politician marriage. So, feel good about that.
The New York State Senate voted 24-38 to defeat a bill legalizing same-sex marriage, which has already passed the Assembly three times and has the strong support of Governor Patterson. 51% of New Yorkers support legalizing same-sex marriage. 42% oppose it.
Thanks,
stupid.
New York. Now,
stupid senators!
Iowa's ahead of
stupid.
Us now. Thank you. We're behind Iowa.
Yeah, we got faced by Iowa, New York, and California.
So let me get this straight. Rush Limbaugh is about to have his fourth traditional marriage.
Yes.
And gay people can't even have one. Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're going to have a girl beater, Chris Brown, aren't they on ABC? But Adam Lambert, no.
No, he's been banned from ABC.
No,
too good for ratings.
Much gay there.
Yes, he kisses D-listed. Too many boys.
Delisted.com writes, the fallout from Glamorachi's fake dry orgy on the American Music Awards continues. Glamorachi was already pushed off of ABC's Good Whoring America because they were afraid his ass shake might cause Sam Champion to give himself fellatio right then and there.
Oh, no!
But now it seems that ABC doesn't want to see Glamorachi. Maybe she's born with it face anytime soon because they've kicked him off Jimmy Kimmel Live and Dick Clark's New Year's Eve special. Glamorachi took to his Twitter to tell his rabid fans not to kick Mickey Mouse in the crotch bone because it isn't their fault. It's the FCC's fault. The truth is ABC doesn't have it in their budget to cover Glamorachi's hairspray bill, according to the list.
You know, I love Adam Lambert, but is his album that bad he has to do all this to sell CDs? I don't understand.
You know, I like his new song, For Your Entertainment. I do. I really
do. He's such a terrific singer. I mean, he's so good, he came in second on American Idol. You got to be great to do that. You know, I mean...
Well, his album is selling a hell of a lot more copies than Chris Allen, who actually...
But did Adam Lambert get invited on the Huckabee Show, Chris?
No.
I don't think so.
Hey, speaking of things that are not selling well, oh, heavens, are you ready?
What?
You know, we talked earlier about the Glenn Beck Christmas letter movie. Beck's movie has bombed in New York, Boston, and Washington, D.C. In New York, he sold 17 tickets. In Boston, another 17. In Washington, D.C., he drew 30.
God bless us, everyone.
Bless his heart.
Anywhere
and
they have a
Fox
dental
is
plan.
Fox going to show file footage of, you know, the Nuremberg rallies or something to show.
Exactly.
How many?
The teeming throngs at Glenn Beck.
Woher Herr stammst du, Kamerad?
That's, well, you know, probably because when you called Ticketmaster and you didn't...
Get off my phone! Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little finnit! I don't care. You people don't care. I'm going to lose my mind today.
You better pick your head up and put it back on your shoulders because we're throwing them over the ground right now.
Lori in Chicago. Hey, Lori. Hello, Lori.
Got to pass this on to your fellow panelist tomorrow night, Bill Press. Neocon Chicken Hawk Chucky Krauthammer really needs a styling intervention.
Hey, that just for men works. It's not going to waste money on fancy dye.
That black shoe polish that he's using on his hair,
it's awful.
Just
yeah.
isn't working. And all I'm waiting for is the Dracula cape to be draped on, and I'm going to be so scared that I just can't possibly view Fox anymore. He is scaring me.
Wait, that's the only thing that scares you
that's
on Fox?
That's the only thing scary on Fox?
No, but, I have major issues, but Chucky is just, he's turning into Chucky before my very eyes.
Yeah, Chucky the evil doll.
I just can't take it anymore.
Now, his hair is so black, the Wu-Tang Clan's upset.
All right. Thank you, Lori. John in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello,
hi, John.
Stephanie. Am I on?
You are on. You're soaking in it.
Okay, thank you. You guys are great together, by the way.
Thank you.
I just have a question. Is it nitpicking, going back to Afghanistan for a second?
Yeah.
And it keeps being repeated that, you know, we were attacked from Afghanistan. And my question is, you know, because none of the hijackers were Afghans, they were Saudis, most of them.
Well, yes, we should have bombed Saudi Arabia. You're correct.
Well,
but you don't bomb the hand that feeds you.
It's the hand you're holding.
The plans were actually hatched in apartments in Germany and Falls Church, Virginia.
Yeah.
And actually, they went to flight school. I think right here in the U.S.
Yep.
So I think this constant trying to attack.
We should have attacked ourselves.
Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Yeah, exactly. False Church can go, frankly.
I think it's a bottomless pit over there. That's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you, honey.
Well, no more blank check, but here's $100 billion.
Yeah, John Tugelsang, I sense you're not down with the Afghanistan.
Not completely, but I'm being swayed. I think he had the choice between a horrible choice and a very horrible choice, and I want to believe he made the right choice. I think that this could be good for the economy because it at this point the military is a jobs program for this country, and so I'm hoping that this will work out for the best, but I don't think you can out-thug these people. It's all about bribes. That's all you can do. That's what the surge was. It was really, you know, that was what the surge was.
That's the American way. Buy people off.
Yeah, I see. I've said this last week on your show, but buy all the opium. Go into business with the opium farmers. Buy the poppies. Use that for our farmies and let capitalism solve it peacefully.
There you go.
Everyone will take a nice little heroin, a little smacky nappy.
You know what? Give it to Rush and we'll balance the economy right away. Give it to Rush's new wife, God help her.
Senator Bob Menendez and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton yesterday at the...
Can any of you tell this committee that, in fact, after July of 2011, we won't have tens of thousands of troops for years after that day?
Well, Senator, I can tell you what the intention is, and the intention is...
Madam Secretary, I don't want to hear what the intention is. I want to know, can you tell the committee that there won't be tens of thousands of troops after July of 2011, for years after that?
Well, Clinton said, this is the point she made. If we allow them access to the very same safe havens they used before 2001, they'll have greater capacity to regroup and attack again. They could drag an entire region into chaos. That's the thing. It's like, I think there are people of good conscience on both sides of this.
I'd like to know who we're at war with, actually. I would. But
I mean, Barbara Boxer, I respect very much. She said, we added the troops, the violence got worse. Now we're being told we should add more troops. How can we now be led to the conclusion that more troops can lead to less violence when the opposite seems to be true? Again, I think people don't know what's going to happen, and people, I think this is a smart president, and he's thought it through. But that being said... I understand Senator Boxer's question.
I mean, it's really a job for special ops forces, you know, and they're going after 100 guys, 30,000 guys. Yeah. You're not going to find 100, and it's not a real country we're going into. It's a series of valleys where if you come into my valley, I shoot you.
Yeah.
So it's not a clear-cut war.
Can't we just send the Salahis in with their ninja stars that Chris Matthews warned about?
I mean, the real problem is that they're all moving to Pakistan, our wonderful ally with the military dictatorship that Bush supported for so many years, and they happen to have nukes, so it's going to be it's going to take a lot of bribes.
Yeah.
Representative John Micah, Republican of Florida, had a particularly absurd attack on the idea of a timetable, because that's the main thing they don't like about it, is that we're going to get out ever, is the bad thing. He said withdrawal timeline would be a mistake because militants in Afghanistan will wait centuries to get even.
They want us gone. They're not going to get even.
He feels comfortable signaling to the Afghanis we may be in their country for centuries, I guess. Yeah.
The McCain doctrine.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You know.
The Genghis Khan doctrine.
Yeah.
But this issue is rattling the political landscape because there's people on both sides that are very, who we've had on a lot is Joe Sestak.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows a little something militarily.
Absolutely.
He's, in very recent times, he was, what's the cool thing was he was in charge of, Chris?
Deep Blue.
Yes.
It sounds like Shark Week or something.
Deep Blue's on Cinemax after 1 a.m.
He's the admiral in the Navy for the anti-terrorism thing. Pardon me?
Anyway. With Jessica Alba.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, he's a good man.
Anyway, but so in that race in particular, because obviously some Democrats are really running against it, against, you know, the Afghanistan surge. So, and you know what's a perfect example, though, is Pennsylvania. So Arlen Specter has announced his opposition to the troop increase, saying he's not persuaded it's indispensable in our fight against Al-Qaeda. Specter, of course, Sestak supports the surge, and he's come out with guns blazing, deriding Specter as a flip-flopper for voting for the war in Iraq, and now he's against a troop increase. Mm-hmm. See, to me, Arlen Specter clearly will just do whatever he thinks politically. Is at least Joe Sestak, I think, really believes that this is the right strategy.
I agree. And
Arlen Specter is just a flip-flop. Oh, no, I'm more liberal than Joe Sestak now.
Yeah,
what
he's still a Cylon no matter what he does, Arlen Specter. Yeah. You can apologize for the magic bullet theory, and I'll trust him then.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That just seems such blatant pandering. Like, oh, look, I'm more liberal, and, you know, forget about the Anita Hill thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I almost
yeah.
had it.
Yeah.
I do want to announce that Tyler Perry gave $1 million to the NAACP. It's now going to be called Tyler Perry's NAACP.
Okay, thank you. That's it for week one of Stephanie Miller Bi-Coastal Incorporated. I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Baker, and John Fugel saying see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.